former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is our number two of the Lombardi Line, hanging out with you guys on the DraftKings Network here on this Saturday in October. Femi Abebefe out here in downtown Las Vegas, Michael Lombardi in the great state of New Jersey. Fun first hour. We have a fun second hour on deck for you guys as well. 15 minutes from now, Bucky Brooks over at the NFL Network and Fox Sports. He will join us to break down the quarterback prospects that we will see today in college football and kind of spinning it forward towards the NFL draft, which will be littered with quarterbacks in the first round. Then 30 minutes from now, our friend Matt Eumanns, host of VSiN Tonight and the co-host of the College Football Betting Podcast, will give us his college football and NFL card, as he always does each and every Saturday to wrap up the show. But Michael, before we get to your Lombardi look ahead, let's talk about what you wrote about here on VSiN.com. We encourage everybody to go ahead and read it at VSiN.com. It's your look ahead that you do each and every week, but also a takeaway from what you've seen in the league. And this one has to do with the Denver Broncos and Russell Wilson, their high-priced quarterback. This has been an utter disaster since the trade a year ago. Last year was awful. This year, it seems like it's even worse. Maybe not his play, but the way the team is playing as a whole is worse as they sit here at 1-5. And one thing that really jumped out to me in your column is the last line that you wrote here in this paragraph. You said, you can honestly say without 1 ounce of hesitation, the next 11 games are the last games Broncos fans will see Wilson in their uniform. What do you think is next for both the Broncos and Russell Wilson?
Well, you know, I'm not a clairvoyant, nor can I predict the future, but I can look at contract, you know, and I can look at contracts and I can look at the reality of a contract, right? And so the way teams have done contracts in the NFL, because of the funding rules, I don't think fans understand this. So what happens is when Deshaun Watson got this fully guaranteed contract, after March of the year he signed the contract, the Jimmy Haslam's family had to send the league office a check for every dollar that was guaranteed to Watson in the future. It's a huge number, right? Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to write a check for $120 million, let's say. I mean, that takes away, no matter how rich you are, that takes away from your cash flow. So because of the rules that were started in the 60s, because back then, nobody was sure the owners could afford to pay the guaranteed contract. So the league instituted a rule that said you have to send money to the league if you guarantee behind a certain date. Okay, that's the backdrop. So what the way teams have maneuvered around that is they've said, okay, we'll guarantee your contract for injury, but when you get to a certain trigger date, we'll hit it for skill and injury, and now we don't have to fund it. Okay? So what happens in what happened last year when Sean took over, that contract in 2024, in 2023, was fully guaranteed, right? It was, he had signing bonus and prorated bonus, all that. Now, in 2024, his contract is fully guaranteed at $17 million. He can't get away from it. They could cut him, but they're paying Russell $17 million. If he's on the roster for the fifth day of the league year in next March, whether it's March 10th, whether it's March 15th, whether it's March 34th, I don't know what day it'll be, March 30th. I don't know. Whatever the league year starts 5 days later, then his $37 million in 2025 become fully guaranteed. Now, let me ask you, Femi, would you be willing to guarantee $37 million in 2025 for Russell Wilson if he's on your roster in 2024 on the fifth day?
No, not with the way things are going in Denver. I would not.
There's no chance. There's zero chance. There's less than a zero chance. Now, what you could do, what they could do, is they could go to Russell and say, look, we don't want to guarantee 37. So will you be willing to write the language differently so that the guarantees don't get triggered? What leverage does Russell have? He probably doesn't have any. They could rearrange the contract. They could rearrange the contract. But if they rearrange the contract, whatever he gets rearranged to, he's the starting quarterback at 37 years old. Is that where you want to go? I don't think so. So I think they have to split next year, eat the $17 million, and start over.
So it'd be the $17 million base salary. I'm looking right now here for 2024. If they were to release him prior to the June 1 release date, it would be a dead cap of $85 million.
Can't do it.
Like, that is just unreal. So you think that they would just go ahead and would this be a post June 1 cut? Would this would be for Russell Wilson, or like how would they kind of maneuver around this? Because it feels like this is going to be punitive. June 1,
they still eat $48 million. I think it is right. They still are in problems. I mean, look, it's the contract. It not only is the trade horrendous, the contract is horrendous squared.
Yeah.
And so there's really no relief in the contract that you're just going to have to bite the bullet and take it.
Mm.
And you're going to have to rip the Band-Aid off. It's going to hurt, but you're going to have to do it.
Man, yeah, that's definitely going to hurt. And I don't know how they – I mean, if they were to do this and hit on one of these rookie quarterbacks, whatever that's playing college football right now, then maybe you can kind of counterbalance it. But, boy, they're going to be strapped for cash. And they do have guys who are coming up. I mean, Jerry Jeudy, he wants a contract. We can get into that. Patrick Surtain is going to get a contract by someone eventually, one of the best young corners in the league. He's eligible for an extension. Like, how do you maneuver sort of paying some of these younger guys after making a move like this to where you were pretty much going to bomb your salary cap to go ahead and move on from a mistake that you made?
You clear the deck. They're not going to sign Jeudy. I mean, they're not signing. They'll trade you Jeudy if you want them. They're not signing Jeudy. The only guy they're going to sign is Surtain. They'll trade Courtland Sutton. They'll trade anybody. They'll trade Garrett Bolt. They'll do anything. You got to tear it down. That's the point. This contract forced to tear down. This contract has forced to tear down. And as I wrote about, if you look at their team, their one loss record over since 15, they went to the Super Bowl and won it. Since that time, you know, when Manning left, they've been searching for the future quarterback, and they haven't won any games. They haven't won any games. They haven't been very good. And they were too late to recognize they needed to rebuild. And when they rebuild, they brought in George Payton to give him the keys to the kingdom. And he's left them in a deeper mess than he was before he got there. I mean, Elway created a mess, but George made it worse with this contract and this act of desperation. So it's not good. And I don't care what anybody says. You know, Sean's not going to say we're going to cut Russell Wilson because he's got to play him for the next 11 games.
Yeah.
But trust me, in January, trust me on this. In January, tunes will change. We'll go from A minor to a B key. You know, it's going to change completely because I'm not making this up. You can't get away. Now, if Russell says, okay, I won't take the guarantee on the 37. I'll just go and if you pay me. Well, what's the number? What is he worth? Would you pay him 20? I wouldn't. You need another quarterback. If you pay him anything, you still need another quarterback.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait for the week 17 or week 18 Sunday news dump where we see the insiders start tweeting out how uncertainty around Russell Wilson's future in the Rocky Mountains. I can't wait for that one coming up later on down the line here this season. But George Payton, though, you brought up an interesting point because Payton got them in a deeper of a mess. Does he get to see this thing through, or do you think that we end up seeing a new general manager around this time next year?
Well, Sean Payton's the general manager. They already have taken Payton's authority away from when they hired Sean. Mm-hmm. What we'll see is if he can get Jeff Ireland out of New Orleans, which everybody in the league thought Jeff Ireland was headed to Denver in the offseason, which didn't happen. Or Ryan Pace, the former Bears general manager, could be going there. Sean's going to get somebody he's comfortable with that can run the personnel department. And I think that's where they could be headed. I mean, George has been basically neutralized. He's really just, we had a Troy on, I forget his last name. He was a great, he knew the Denver team really well. Yep, he knew it really well. And he just basically said that George is basically a college scouting director right now, and that's what he's operating on. But, you know, he's looking at this mess he created. I mean, this has got his fingerprints all over it. Now, Sean hasn't made it any better. You know, with the money he spent on McGlinchey and Zach Allen and some of these guys he brought in free agency, Frank Clark, I mean, it's really kind of comical how bad it has been. I mean, when you look at, like, Frank Clark, let's just take Frank Clark. This is how bad it was. Frank Clark got $1.5 million to sign. His $3.5 million salary was fully guaranteed. And he has a $510,000 per game roster bonuses. And he's got another $2 million in sacks and playtime. So he could earn up to $7.5 million. Now, he was so desperate to get out of there, he took a reduction down to 1.1 in his salary, which is the minimum he's going to do. He eliminated his per game rosters. And he eliminated the sack and play time. So he's like, okay, if anybody wants me, I'm out. He gave up $2 million to get out of there. That's how bad it is.
Times are tough. Real quick, let's get to the Lombardi look ahead, though. The two plays, not one, you have two of them that you're staying away from a betting standpoint, one in college, one in NFL.
Yeah, I the SC Notre Dame game, I don't understand. I mean, I don't trust Lincoln Riley. I don't trust any of that. And then, you know, and then the pro game, you know, I can't. I'm not touching. I don't think, and just being brutally honest here, I don't think the Patriots have hit the bottom yet. I really don't. I think they're just not good enough. They have no confidence. The way this game has to go for them is their defense, much like what happened with the Jets, their defense is going to have to win the game, they'll make a few plays. I think it's going to be really challenging.
So
that's the one that I would.
USC, Notre Dame, and Patriots, Raiders, those are the Hall & Oates plays of the week. I had to get that in there. Line of the week, you're going to the AFC South.
Well, look, you know, there was a stat put out, I forget who put it out online, but essentially whenever teams go to London and they come back in the fourth quarter, I think it's 12 instances, in the fourth quarter, they're either behind or ahead by a point, that they tend to fade on the return. We saw that last week with Atlanta. Most people were on Houston in that game, and Atlanta kicked a field goal to win by it. And it depended on what you got Atlanta, you won. This week, it's the Jags. And I think the Colts at 4 are a good play because I think the Jags will suffer, will have some of that lasting effect. Because remember, the first time they played, the Jags won by 10, but the Colts were on the one-yard line to try to score, and they couldn't do it.
Yeah, and they spent 2 weeks over there, now back in the States. Bucky Brooks of NFL Network and Fox Sports joins us next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network here on this College Football Saturday. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi hanging out here on October 14th. Michael out in the great city of New Jersey. I'm here in downtown Las Vegas. And joining us now to sort of set the stage and watch these college football games from more of an evaluation standpoint for the NFL, we're bringing in our guy, Bucky Brooks, over at the NFL Network and Fox Sports, played in the NFL as well. Bucky, we appreciate you joining us here on the Lombardi Line. Bucky, you joined us during the draft process. So this is kind of a chance to sort of set the stage. And from the untrained eye, Caleb Williams looks like the absolute real deal. USC is playing Notre Dame coming up later on this evening. Is Caleb Williams as good as he is advertised?
I mean, he's a really good player. And I think when you're looking at franchise quarterbacks, the one thing that real franchise quarterbacks can do is they can always make the play caller right. Through their ability to either execute the script or execute off the script, they have the ability to make every play right with their natural talent. Caleb Williams has that. Now, I would say his best moments not only happen when he's in rhythm, but when he escapes the pocket, he has enough athleticism to run it if he wants to run, but he runs with his eyes down the field to make big plays. And when you look at this SC team, I mean, I know they're getting talked about being a team that could be in the playoff. The only reason they're in that conversation is because of him. And so to me, when you have a player like that that can elevate the team, that's when you begin to look at the traits and the gifts and that extra stuff and say, oh, yeah, he can be a franchise quarterback at the next level.
Yeah, I think you captured it perfectly. I mean, because he's making everybody else better. And I'm not sure that this ST team is as good as everybody thinks. I think the fact that they're a dog to Notre Dame on the road proves that. How about Drake May? Is he the number two guy, or is there someone else? Is it Michael Penix? I know we have a lot of work to do in this draft, but I do think – there's a lot of teams that know this is a great quarterback draft. And, you know, that's why there may be some hesitation in trying to trade for Kirk Cousins, because you give up the chance at one of these guys. Who's your second best quarterback if Caleb's one?
So here's the funny thing. Like, so Drake May is near and dear to my heart because I'm a Tar Heel. He's playing under my former coach, Mac Brown. And I know his dad really well. When I was at Carolina, his dad had just played at Carolina as a quarterback, was a big time three-sport athlete in North Carolina. So that's part of the pedigree. Drake May is a prototypical franchise quarterback that everyone has looked for the last 30 years. He's 6'3", 6'4". He can play it from the pocket. He's athletic. He can get on the edge. I've talked about his family history because his brothers have played high-level basketball and baseball in college. So this is a kid who gets it. But the thing that people will appreciate about him He's all business when it comes to playing the game. He's a yes sir, no sir kid. He's serious about his preparation and process. And even though I would say he's only played football in college for 2 years, because remember, he didn't play his last season in high school due to COVID. He redshirted behind or didn't play behind Sam Howell. So he's only played a year and a half. So his best football is ahead. But all the things that you look for, not only physically, but the intangible traits, he has it. And there's going to be some conversation depending on who's the number one, who gets the number one pick. There will be more conversation about Caleb Williams versus Drake May than just Caleb Williams and then everybody else.
Wow.
No, bingo. That's he nailed it. He nailed it, Femi. He nailed it. That's exactly right.
Yeah, that's a strong
I think everybody
evaluation.
Just assumed Caleb is going to be the number one, but I think Bucky nailed it because the more you dig into the personality of Drake May, the more teams are going to gravitate. Not that Caleb Williams' personality isn't great, but this kid's got some unique skills that few have.
No, I think that's excellent insight because I think most people think that is can Drake May protect his QB2 spot, but that sounds like he's really in the conversation for QB1 between he and Caleb Williams. We're speaking with Bucky Brooks, former NFL player, now analyst over at NFL Network and Fox Sports. Well, if we talked about May and Williams, those are the top two guys. It appears like at least as of right now here in October, still a long way to go until we get to the draft process. How about the Pac-12 showdown in Seattle today? Michael Penix, Bo Nix, both those guys have seen themselves kind of rise up the ranks over the last year. So where are you at with Michael Penix, the Washington quarterback?
Hey, I really like Michael Penix. I really love him. I had a chance to meet him and talk to him a lot this summer. And I think what we're seeing, and some of this is going to be the Brock Purdy effect. You're seeing these older quarterbacks that come into the National Football League, Brock Purdy, Aiden O'Connell, guys that played a lot. They have advantages over the other young guys that come in. Michael Penix will fall into that category. You have to remember, he played at Indiana before he goes to UW. He suffered a series of injuries. But all of that bought him time to be around the college game. This is a real mature player, really smart. He's learned how to not lean as much on his athleticism and become a guy that can deal from the pocket. When you think about him, because he talked about the relationship that he has with the head coach there who was with him, I think, at Indiana. Mm-hmm. That's why he ended up there. He really has a high IQ. He has good instincts and awareness. He's a really good player. And you see him on the big stage at UW. He plays, and he plays at a high level. This is a great showcase game for him and also Bo Nix, but I'm really excited about Michael Penix because I was kind of on that line, like maybe he's a franchise guy, maybe he's like that second rounder that develops into it. I think he's firmly in the conversation as a guy that can be a frontline starter in the league.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he's done it all, and I think DeBoard has really, those two, that partnership from Indiana, because when he didn't have DeBoard at Indiana, he wasn't the same player, but you can see how the system meets the talent. So, Bucky, going back over the last year's draft, I mean, everybody's down on Bryce Young. He's getting killed. I actually think Bryce Young looks really good. I don't think he gets a lot of help from his offensive line. C.J. Stroud has looked sensational. What are your thoughts of the young quarterback so far this year?
So it's funny because I had a chance to coach Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud together at a team in an event like Elite 11. And I would say this, Bryce Young has always been the ballyhoo guy. C.J. Stroud has always kind of flown under the radar, but he's the guy that's really, really, he kind of has the tools and the it stuff, right? So people see him deal from the pocket. He has all that natural talent and he can throw it. And, you know, he didn't want to leave the pocket much at Ohio State, but the athleticism is there. I think the most impressive part is C.J. Stroud that we're seeing is a guy that we always talk about the quarterback making it better. Where I do the sideline reports for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So that game, the second game of the year, he's down 4 offensive linemen. I don't know who he's throwing to on the perimeter, but yet he leads them to a win, and it's because of him. It's because of his ability to make pinpoint throws, his ability to get out of trouble and make plays in a pocket. And we always talk about, man, the great ones can mask all the other stuff. C.J. Stroud is doing that. I think the Houston Texans kind of fell into a franchise quarterback that might have been even better than they thought when they were going through the draft process.
Yeah, so far so good right now. C.J. Stroud, the betting favorite to be Offensive Rookie of the Year. Real quick here on this upcoming class that we're about to see in 2024. How many quarterbacks do you ultimately think go in the first round? Are we talking about 4, 5, maybe even 6 quarterbacks? Is it going to be that high?
I think we always overhype it right now. There may be 4 or 5 that go, but I think it always comes down to there are 2 legitimate ones that I know are first round talent, like Caleb Williams and Drake May. Michael Penix, Bo Nix, and some of the other guys that are in the conversation, they're talented enough to be taken up there, but I don't know if they're going to be that. And we always know if 5 are going, it only ends up being 1 or 2 that end up being legit. So yeah. Those two at the top, I feel really good about. The other guys I like, but I can't say that I love them enough to say that, hey, these guys are going to be game changers that shift the league when they enter.
Yeah, I think that's right. We need more time to evaluate. I think we're so quick to rush to the judgment and to proclaim the guy the savior. And we all know that from Brock Purdy, if they're in the right system in the right place, they can certainly, they look really good and people think they look better than they are. But actually, it's the system meeting the talent of the player. Which team has surprised you so far, Bucky, in the six games in the 5 weeks of the season?
Oh, man, like it's funny because I'm sitting here and I'm looking at the Indianapolis Colts win games. I'm looking at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers win game with Baker Mayfield playing like we thought he would play in terms of a high-end game manager. Those two teams have been really impressive. But I'm going to be honest with you, Mike. I've never been more impressed with the San Francisco 49ers than ever. In terms of like the sheer dominance that they play with, the way that they knocked out and dominated the Dallas Cowboys. And I don't know if Dallas was as good as people talked about. But when I look at the Niners, I kind of see a team that's on a mission. And the fact that we're having this conversation about Brock Purdy, because everyone in the league, scouts are trying to figure out, what did we miss on him? I watched him at the East-West Shrine game and that stuff. But he is the right fit in the right place with the right pieces around him. Ultimately, they're going to have to pay him or figure out how to pay him. But, man, the San Francisco 49ers, they look like the team that is going to roll through the league. And them and the Philadelphia Eagles having that showdown, I think it's week 13. I can't wait to see it because, to me, they're the best teams. The Eagles aren't playing like that, but the Niners are clearly head and shoulders above everybody else right now.
Yeah, they're on a collision course. That game will be played in Philadelphia. Cannot wait to see that win, a rematch of last year's NFC title game. Real quick, Buck, we got about 30 seconds left. Who's the best team, in your opinion, in the AFC?
I think the Kansas City Chiefs, but I think the Kansas City Chiefs are the best team differently. Their defense is much better than we've ever seen. The young guys had an opportunity to play last year. They're playing more man coverage, and the coverage is tight. And what that has enabled them to do is play a different style on the offense. They're not the high-flying, explosive team. They're actually playing more complementary football. I think they'll be in more tighter games, but their defense can carry it. And I think what you're seeing is Andy Reid leaning to the running game. He needs to lean into it more, but they can get it done because they always have Patrick Mahomes.
All right. He is Bucky Brooks.
Great job,
check him out over
awesome
on NFL
work,
Network
man. Appreciate
and
you.
Fox Sports. We always have a pleasure of having Bucky Brooks on here. Bucky, we appreciate it. Be well.
Hey, thanks so much. Mike, thanks for your book, man. I just got it the other day.
Oh, great. Thank you, Bucky.
Here we go. Football done right. Get it wherever you get your books. We will get Matt Eumanns on here in studio next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit vsin.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits are another way. VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at vsin.com. Welcome back. It's the Lombardi Line, hanging out with you guys on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe out here in downtown Las Vegas at the Circa Resort and Casino. Michael Lombardi in the great state of New Jersey, but joining us now in studio like he does each and every Saturday, it's our buddy Matt Eumanns, host of VSiN Tonight. Check that out, 9 to midnight Eastern, Monday through Friday. Also the co-host of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Get it wherever you get your podcast. Matt, how we doing today here? It's a fun college football Saturday.
I don't know. Actually, I'm still trying to wake up and... Ask me in the middle of the afternoon how I'm doing. If I'm winning, I'm doing well. If I'm not winning, I'm going to be in a bad mood. But I like a lot of games today, so I think it's going to be a good day.
You do? You like a lot of them? You like the board today, Matt, huh?
I do. Well, college football boards, there are so many opportunities on there. And I also will watch all these games and live bet the games and play halftimes. And there's nothing like college football's Saturdays. Well, college basketball Saturdays are pretty good too. But so, I do like the board today, Michael.
Can I ask you a question? Like I asked this to Tim Murray. Like, you like Notre Dame minus the 2 against USC because you just don't trust USC's defense?
Yeah, there's a lot of things going on here. I actually played Notre Dame minus 135 on the money line. Also laid 2.5 for a smaller bet. I wouldn't be surprised if this is a similar game to Ohio State where it comes down to the wire. And, you know, maybe Notre Dame wins it by one. So I'm always a little bit leery of laying points anyway. But here we go with the USC defense, which has allowed 110 points in the last three games to Arizona, Colorado, and Arizona State. Those are not exactly top 20 teams, okay? And on top of all that, last week, Noah Fifita, who is a backup quarterback, about 5'8", who's making his second career start, he leads Arizona to a 506 to 365 advantage in total yards, passed for 303 yards and five touchdowns with one pick, and Arizona controls the ball for 35 and a half minutes in that game. I mean, if that's not a red flag, I don't know what is. And Caleb Williams is kind of a makeup artist. You know, he does cover up a lot of the flaws on that USC team. It's some sort of in the same way that Patrick Mahomes does for the Chiefs sometimes. And I think they play with a similar style. But also, you know, Notre Dame, I think the flat spot for the Irish was last Saturday. They had the big game at Ohio State that went to the wire. Same thing at Duke the next week. They're on the road at Louisville. That was the Cardinals Super Bowl. Jeff Brohm, big game Jeff Brohm, had the Cardinals fired up. You know, that stadium was packed. One of the biggest wins in school history. They stormed the field. I think the Irish are going to be resilient here and bounce back this week against USC. You're going to see the power running game for Notre Dame emerge a little bit, and I think they're going to push around USC's defense, control the ball, control the clock, and Sam Hartman's going to play much better than he did a week ago when he was under constant pressure. And he was sacked five times, picked off three times. You're going to see a different Notre Dame team this week. Hey, the Irish should have beat Ohio State 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know, they held the Buckeyes. Notre Dame's a far superior defensive team here, and they're going to limit USC's big plays. But Notre Dame held the Buckeyes to 10 points through 59-plus minutes. So I do like Notre Dame here.
Yeah, it's a pretty impressive feat there for the Fighting Irish. That one that got away against Ohio State here. How about the game in Seattle? College game days there. A lot of hype around this game. Top 10 showdown in the Pac-12, at least for this final year of the Pac-12. Washington, a 3-point favorite. Some places going to 3.5. Total sitting at 66.5 here. What do you like in the Ducks and the Huskies, the Border War?
Oh, okay. So when I was on with Mitch and Paul on Follow the Money early in the week, I said I was playing Washington minus 2.5. And I bet that I did not think we would see 3.5s this week, because I really thought that the way this game was going to be bet is that if you like Washington, you're laying 2.5. If you like Oregon, you're taking that 3 right away. Well, now you can take 3.5. So if you want to take 3.5 with the Ducks, I'm not going to argue with you. The one thing I'm concerned about here is the Washington defensive front. And Oregon's going to be able to move the ball in this Huskies defense. I've heard a lot of commentary this week about how Oregon's defense is a lot better than Washington's. We don't really know that, because the Ducks have played a pretty weak schedule. And the one time they went on the road to play a good opponent, Texas Tech, they gave up 30 points, and it should have been more if the quarterback, Shuck, didn't turn the ball over a couple times. So I'm not sure this is a lockdown Ducks defense. I have, Michael, a little bit more faith in Michael Penix, the quarterback for Washington, 74.7% completions, about 399 yards per game, 16 TDs, and he's really minimized the negative plays. He's only got 2 interceptions and 3 sacks, and I trust him a little bit more than I do Bo Nix on the road, who, and if you look at Bo Nix's career, he has not played anywhere near as well on the road as he does at home. So,
Matt, how about Purdue? Purdue's got Ohio State today, and I think a lot of people probably think this could be a look-ahead line for Ohio State. What are your thoughts on this one?
Well, if you've watched the Buckeyes this season, they've been a slow-starting team, too. And Femi asked me when I walked in, you think the Buckeyes would be on upset alert? I wouldn't be surprised if this is like a tie game at halftime, and you got to sweat this out. I did take 20 with Purdue. That number was over at the Golden Nugget across the street here this week. It's down to 17 here at Circa, but I think Ohio State's got reasons to be a little bit concerned here. The number 2 wide receiver's out today. Ohio State struggled a lot of times with Purdue in the past. And also, you're on the road in West Lafayette where it's going to be rainy and cold a little bit today. And Purdue's got some playmakers on offense. You talk about Deion Burks, wide receiver. Devin Mockaby, Tyrone Tracy at running back. They got good tight ends. One of the problems has been the quarterback, Hudson Card, the transfer from Texas, has turned it over too much. If he doesn't turn it over today, I think Purdue could be live to win this game, but I'll take a bunch of points, and I expect Ohio State to pick it up in the second half and come back, probably win the game, who knows, by 14, 10 to 14 points, something like that. But, you know, I do like to bet against big favorites like this when they're on the road and they have a bigger game next week, right?
Yeah.
Penn State and Ohio State next week.
And it always feels like, it feels like every other year or so, Ohio State, whether they go to Iowa or they go to Purdue, they have that one slip up. Maybe that slip up is today as a 17-point favorite. We're hanging out with Matt Youmans here, host of VSiN Tonight. Check that out Monday through Friday, 9 to midnight Eastern. Also the co-host of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Get it wherever you get your podcasts. Mention Notre Dame. They lost last week to Louisville. Well, the Cardinals are now laying a touchdown on the road at Pitt. Total 44. Is this a classic Narduzzi underdog spot here?
Let's hope so. I did. I took 8 with Pitt early in the week. I knew this was going to be a side that a bunch of handicappers were going to gravitate toward this week, a lot of sharp bettors. Cardinals, just like I said, they just won their Super Bowl. They're 6-0. But you can't forget, a lot of people probably pretty impressed by watching Louisville last week against Notre Dame. That's by far the best performance for the Cardinals this season. They played their A game last week. Probably not going to do that today on the road. 2 weeks ago, Cardinals were on the road at North Carolina State. The quarterback, Jack Plummer, didn't play that well. Louisville had to squeak out a 13-10 win at NC State, which is a somewhat comparable team to Pitt. This is just a really bad spot for the Cardinals on the road after the field storming against Notre Dame. And also here, you got a Pitt team that's off a bye. Pat Narduzzi's defense statistically is solid, and you're going to make a quarterback switch too. Jurkovic has been benched. Christian Velu is a new starting quarterback. And I think maybe the Panthers are hitting a reset button here, and it's going to pay off. Now, it's not an easy bet to make because Pitt's been a mess. This is a team that's lost 4 in a row and has looked pretty bad in the process. But sometimes you got to wipe that from your memory and say, hey, I got to trust the spot here. This is a really good spot for Pitt and a really bad spot for Louisville.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, I love Brahm, and I think it's even the best of coaches have a hard time getting their team ready to play at a game where after an emotional win like that, you know, as you go forward, it's always so difficult. But today, Indiana's obviously not very good, and we see that, and they're playing Wisconsin and laying a ton of points. But you like Wisconsin today?
Wisconsin's laying 9 to Iowa. And
I'm sorry. I thought it was Indiana. Indiana's like 33-point dog somewhere, right? I saw
Michigan,
that.
Michigan, yeah.
Michigan, that's right.
I actually kind of like Indiana getting all those points today, but that's not one of my favorite plays. Got a small bet on Indiana, but I did play Wisconsin here. I don't like to lay points like this. I actually hate laying points like this. But this Iowa team, oh my God, this might be the worst 5-1 team I've ever seen in the history of college football. The quarterback, Deacon Hill, in the last two games, Deacon Hill is 17-48 throwing it. I don't think the Hawkeyes could be able to hang with the Badgers today. It's going to be an ugly game. You might not want to watch it. Look at the total, 35. Yeah. I think this is something that Wisconsin probably wins like 20-6.
Pickleball. That's what we're playing out there in Madison with the Wisconsin Badgers.
Pickleball.
Pickleball. Matt has a play in the Hawaii game for some of you get right people out there. Make sure you stick around for that. We'll reveal that on the other side, as well as the NFL card to wrap up the show here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use promo code VSiN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. It's the final segment here of the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. Michael Lombardi out in New Jersey. Femi Abebefe hanging out here in downtown Las Vegas with Matt Youmans in studio.
Is Lombardi here? Is he still autographing books? What's going on?
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here. I got my man Joseph in here, Matt. I got a little, you know, we got to go through the books, get that signed. Yeah, we can do two things at one time, Matt. I mean,
he's efficient with the time.
I go out to the mailbox every day, crack of dawn, checking to see if I got the Lombardi book yet, and it's not there. Every day.
You never sent me an address.
I did. I did text it to you a couple weeks ago. I've been every day checking the mailbox. Where's the autograph book?
Supply chain shortages.
Okay.
Trust me, I will. I will take care of that. I thought I sent. I didn't think I got. I got to look up my list.
Okay, yeah,
I'll write that down. Don't worry, Matt. Okay. I will never let you down.
Is this FedEx we're shipping with? The UPS or
Pony Express?
Maybe. Huh? But before we get to Matt's Hawaii play and also his NFL play, I did want to report there for the Ohio State and Purdue game. Ohio State star running back Travion Henderson. It appears that he will be ruled out. A lot of reporters reporting that. Also, we saw on the pregame show he's wearing his jersey and sweat, so it doesn't sound like Travion Henderson, their star running back, will play. They're already down to Mecca Ibuka, their number two wide receiver. But as we talked about during the break, Buckeyes have five stars on the bench, so I'm sure they'll figure something out.
And Mayan Williams, the other running back for the Buckeyes, out today, too. So they're definitely going to be shorthanded in this game at Purdue. I think the Buckeyes are going to have to sweat this one out. You know, Zachariah Brants, the wide receiver, freshman wide receiver for USC, who's so explosive, he's a game-time decision. If he's out, that's definitely going to hurt the USC offense, too. So keep an eye on that.
Definitely. A lot of injury news out here in the world of college football. We'll save the Hawaii play for the last thing. Let's get to your NFL card. You're going to the most famous county in all of America, and you're backing the dog. Explain yourself.
Femi, what county is that again?
Duval!
Okay.
I didn't even know it was a famous county. I missed that memo.
Jags fans made it famous.
Well, I'm going to play the Colts here. And I like the Colts better with Gardner Minshew at quarterback. Anthony Richardson has shown flashes. You know, he could be a future star. But when you run that much in the NFL, it's going to be problematic. We're seeing that with Josh Allen late in the season when he gets worn down and Buffalo just takes too many hits. Anthony Richardson is 1 month into his NFL career. He's already had two significant injuries that's caused him to miss starts. But Gardner Minshew has started a lot of games in the league. He's going back. It's kind of his homecoming game in Jacksonville. He was a sixth-round draft pick in 2019. And I like the Colts better with Minshew at quarterback just because, you know, he's going to be better at reading defenses, putting the offense in the right situation. When he started that week three game at Baltimore, he played well, passed for 227 yards with a touchdown, no picks. Didn't make, you know, many negative plays, and the Colts won that game in overtime. I think he's going to give the Colts a better shot to win this game. And no matter what the Colts running attack has been great. I think averaged 148 yards on the ground over the past three or four games. And Jonathan Taylor's back to play a bigger role in the offense this week. And the Jaguars just in a little bit of a tricky spot here after spending 2 weeks in London and coming home. I think the Colts are catching them at the right time. And, you know, we were talking with the producer, Elliot, and I think he's a big Colts fan. Talking about how Jacksonville's been such a kind of like a Bermuda Triangle for the Colts over the years, and they always lose there. But the difference is Colts always been favored when they go down there. And this time they're dogs, and they're in a better spot with Minshew at quarterback. So I do like the Colts.
Well, you know, I'm with you on this bet. I like the Colts as well. I like the fact that teams that come back from London in the fourth quarter, they have a tendency to kind of melt because of the travel and the hardness. And 2 weeks over there, when you come back, there's a lot of things you got to get done at home. People don't always take that into account. The players' focus and concentration, especially after you beat a team by 10 points, may not be as sharp as you need it to be. And I think the Colts have a lot of confidence. That last drive, Matt, when Gardner Minshew took the ball down the field with what I think it was 7 minutes to go in the game and basically converted a lot of third downs with good throws was, to me, really impressive. I mean, they won the game with their offensive there, because I think if they punt the ball to Tennessee, Tennessee's going to win that game. Yeah. So I'm with you on that play. How about the Jets? The line in the contest is 7. There's some sixes out there. You took it at 6.5. Slay, the corner for the Eagles, isn't going to play. Jalen Carter, the rookie of the year, the defensive rookie of the year candidate, isn't going to play. And the Jets, if they can run the ball, have a chance in the game.
Yeah, that's well said. And that's what I think, too. Breece Hall had 177 yards last week, but that Denver defense is really bad. Michael, it had to be driving you crazy, I think, Thursday night. It was driving me crazy watching the Denver defense leave Travis Kelce wide open in the middle of the field on every freaking play.
Yeah,
who's coordinating the Denver defense? Is it Don Knotts? Gomer Pyle? What the hell is going on?
I mean, it happens every week. Look, it's hard to double Kelce. I get it, because they do such a good job of maneuvering him around. But, you know, to me, you when you treat 87 like another 87, it's your own fault. It's a little bit – this is two Thursdays in a row I've lost my mind. I mean, when Chicago's throwing the ball to DJ Moore and my man Jack Del Rio's just standing there not doubling him or taking him out, I'm right. like, what are we doing here? This is malpractice. So, yeah, it's hard to do it with them. But I think what Bucky Brooks said – earlier in the show, Matt, is really dead on. The Chiefs are a defensive team now. They're complementing their defense with their offense. They're not explosive at all on offense.
They're not.
And they're turning the ball over on offense more than they ever have. So, I mean, if there was ever a moment that Denver could steal a win that was there, and they still didn't cover. They still didn't cover that. So,
boy,
you know, as for the Jets, I just worry about Zach Wilson against a good defense.
Sure.
And I'm not saying the Eagles are elite, but I worry about him turning the ball over if he has to throw it, especially if we get this rain and wind that we're expected here in Jersey.
Yeah, and it looks like weather could be a factor. Breece Hall hopefully can move the offense on the ground. And Zach Wilson can actually run the ball a little bit too. I thought he showed that again against the Dallas defense back when Femi's team looked like a Super Bowl contender. But
it's tough.
I think one thing concerning...
You're going against Femi's team too. If there ever was a play... Yeah. You know, it's funny that the Cowboy-Charger game, Matt, and I'll let you handicap it, to me is the pros are all over the Chargers, and the public thinks the Cowboys are going to win it.
Yeah, I don't think the Cowboys are going to win it, but again, the Chargers sometimes find ways to lose games, and that concerns me a little bit. I mean, they did everything they could to let the Raiders come back and beat them when they were up 24-7 a couple weeks ago until O'Connell threw the pick on the goal line, but... I do think this is a big game for Kellen Moore. He was fired. He was thrown under the bus by Mike McCarthy. And Austin Eckler is going to be back, it appears, for the Chargers. So Justin Herbert just has an array of weapons in this offense to stretch the field. And if you've watched the Dallas defense, I know you guys have, the last two times on the road against Arizona and San Francisco, this defense has been bad. Mm-hmm. You know, we were talking about how dominant this Dallas defense was early in the season. Okay, they were playing the Giants and the Jets. Well, they go on the road, play the Cardinals and the 49ers, and we're seeing holes exposed in this defense all over the field. I think the Chargers can, Justin Herbert can take advantage of that. You always wonder about the Cowboys' psyche, too. I never think this is the most mentally tough team, and now the Cowboys just get embarrassed in San Francisco. How are they going to bounce back? How are they going to handle that? So I do like the Chargers a little bit. I haven't bet this yet because I'm going to wait to see if a three pops up. Like you said, the public really loves the Cowboys, and there's a chance. I've talked to a couple bookmakers who think this line might hit three by Monday.
Wow. Yeah.
I think so. Wow. I'm with you on that. I think so. Femi will be all over the three. You wait and see. He can't wait to take his Cowboys.
It's a stay away from me. We're obviously a little rattled after what happened last Sunday night, so we're reassessing.
Matt makes a great point, though, Femi. Yeah. If you watch the Arizona game closely,
yeah,
they blocked Arizona. Arizona blocked them. Wasn't a defense that you said, oh, they're just having an off day. I think he's right. And I thought New England, wrongly, could have given them a game, but New England just turned the ball over like they do against everybody. But to me, I think their competition offensively up until the 49er game has not been very good. Arizona really moved the ball well.
Yeah. The defense is getting punked in two of the last 3 weeks. We got a minute left. Your get right game of the day. San Diego State, Hawaii. This one is kicking off at 11 Eastern, 8 o'clock West Coast time. What do you like, your Aztecs and the Warriors?
Hopefully you're right before the get right game and everything's going well and you could just be icing on the cake or whatever. But this San Diego State team's really declined defensively. They don't have the stud running back they've had in recent years. I don't like much about this Hawaii team either, to tell you the truth. But Hawaii's been a really good dog in Honolulu over the past 2 years, covering 8 of 11, winning a bunch of those games straight up. So I took 6 with Hawaii late tonight.
All right, there you go. Taking the 6 with the home.
Will you be awake to watch it, Matt?
Of course.
You're not going to be awake to watch it. I hope.
I'll be awake to watch every game today.
He's still recovering from Stanford, Colorado last night.
All right, we don't have time to talk about Deion Sanders and his staff and the coaching blunders in that game last night.
We don't.
Okay,
that'll be another day. Yeah. That does it for us here on the Lombardi Line. Coming up next, Live Bet Saturday. Jonathan Vonto will Pam Maldonado here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.